First question. Does New Age have a rival, a competitor somewhere with similar technology? Diana Bond said, no. Nobody all bitter and frustrated because they were outbid? No. New Age's proposition was unique. Okay. Second question. Does the government really want Little Wing to work? Why the hell wouldn't it? Because governments can get nervous about developing new attack capabilities without having appropriate defense capabilities already in place. That's a concern I've never heard mentioned. Really? Suppose Little Wing is captured and copied. The Pentagon knows how much damage it can do. Are we happy to face having the thing turned around against us?
It's not an issue, Bond said. We would never do anything if we thought like that. The Manhattan Project would have been canceled, supersonic fighters, everything.
Okay. Now tell me about New Age's bench assembly.
Is this the third question?
Yes.
What about their bench assembly?
Tell me what it is. Basically, I never worked in the electronics business.
It's assembly by hand. Women in sterile rooms at laboratory benches in shower caps using magnifying glasses and soldering irons.
Slow, Reacher said.
Obviously. A dozen units a day instead of hundreds or thousands.
A dozen.
That's all they're averaging right now. 9 or 10 or 12 or 13 a day.
When did they start bench assembly?
Is this the fourth question?
Yes, it is.
They started bench assembly about 7 months ago.
How did it go?
Is this the fifth question?
No, it's a follow-up.
It went fine for the first 3 months. They hit their targets.
6 days a week, right?
Yes.
When did they hit problems?
About 4 months ago.
What kind of problems?
Is this the last question?
No, it's another follow-up.
After assembly, the units are tested. More and more of them weren't working.
Who tests them?
They have a quality control director.
Independent?
No, he was the original development engineer. At this stage, he's the only one who can test them because he's the only one who knows how they're supposed to work.
What happens to the rejects?
They get destroyed.
Reacher said nothing. Diana Bond said,
now I really have to go.
Last question, Reacher said. Did you cut their funding because of their problems? Did they fire people?
Of course not. Are you nuts? That's not how it works. We maintained their budget. They maintained their staff. We had to.
They had to.
We have to make this thing work.
Chapter 56. Diana Bond left for the second time, and Reacher went back to his pie. The apples were cold, and the crust was leathery, and the ice cream had melted all over the plate. But he didn't care. He wasn't really tasting anything. O'Donnell said,
well, we should celebrate.
Should we? Reacher said.
Of course we should. We know what happened now.
And that means we should celebrate?
Well, doesn't it?
Lay it out for me and see for yourself.
Okay.
Swan wasn't pursuing some private concern here. He was investigating his own company. He was checking why the success rate fell away so badly after the first 3 months. He was worried about insider involvement. Therefore, he needed clerical help on the outside because of eavesdropping and random data monitoring in his office. Therefore, he recruited Franz and Sanchez and Orozco. Who else would he trust? And? First, they analyzed the production figures, which were all those numbers we found. 7 months, 6 days a week. Then they ruled out sabotage. New Age had no rivals that stood to gain anything, and the Pentagon wasn't working against them behind the scenes. So?
What else was there?
They figured the quality control guy had falsely condemned 650 working units, and the firm was booking them in as destroyed, but actually selling them out the back door for $100,000 apiece to someone called Azhari Mahmoud, a.k.a. whoever. Hence the list of names and the note on Sanchez's napkin. And they confronted New Age prematurely and got killed for it. The firm cooked up a story to cover Swan's disappearance, and the Dragon Lady fed it to you. So now we should celebrate. We know what happened, Reacher. We always used to celebrate. Reacher said nothing. It's a home run, O'Donnell said. Isn't it? And you know what? It's almost funny. You said we should talk to Swan's old boss. Well, I think we already did. Who else could it have been on that cell phone? That was New Age's director of security. Probably. So what's the problem? What did you say way back in that Beverly Hills hotel room? I don't know. Lots of things. You said you wanted to piss on their ancestors' graves. And I will. You won't. And neither will I, or any of us, which isn't going to feel good. That's why we can't celebrate.
They're right here in town. They're sitting ducks.
They sold 650 working electronics packs out the back door, which has implications. Somebody wants the technology, they buy one pack and copy it. Somebody buys 650, it's because they want the missiles themselves. And they don't buy the electronics down here, unless they're also buying the rockets and the launch tubes up there in Colorado. That's what we've got to face here. Some guy called Azhari Mahmoud now owns 650 brand new latest generation SAMs. Whoever he is, we can guess what he wants them for. It'll be some kind of a big, big deal. So we have to tell someone, folks. Nobody spoke. And a thin minute after we dropped that dime, we're buried up to our armpits in federal agents. We won't be able to cross the street without permission, let alone go get these guys. We'll have to sit back and watch them get lawyers and eat 3 squares a day for the next 10 years while they run through all their appeals. Nobody spoke. So that's why we can't celebrate, Reacher said. They messed with the special investigators, and we can't lay a glove on them. Chapter 57. Reacher didn't sleep a wink that night. Not a second. Not a minute. They messed with the special investigators, and we can't lay a glove on them. He tossed and turned and lay awake hour after hour. His eyes were jammed wide open, but images and fevered hallucinations flooded at him. Calvin Franz, walking, talking, laughing, full of drive and energy and sympathy and concern. Jorge Sanchez, the narrowed eyes, the hint of a smile, the gold tooth, the endless cynicism that was ultimately as reassuring as constant good humor. Tony Swan, short, wide, bulky, sincere, a thoroughly decent man. Manuel Orozco, the absurd tattoo, the fake accent, the jokes, the metallic clunk of the ever-present Zippo. Friends all. Friends unavenged. Friends abandoned. Then others swam into sight, as real as if they were hovering just below the ceiling. Angela Franz, clean, carefully dressed, eyes wide with panic. The boy Charlie, rocking in his little wooden chair. Milena, slipping like a ghost from the harsh Vegas sun into the darkness of the bar. Tammy Orozco on her sofa, her 3 children bewildered, roaming through their wrecked apartment looking for their father. They appeared to Reacher as 2 girls and a boy, 9, 7, and 5, even though he had never met them. Swan's dog was there, a long, swishing tail, a deep rumble of a bark. Even Swan's mailbox was there, blinding in the Santa Ana light. Reacher gave it up at 5 in the morning and got dressed again and went out for a walk. He turned west on Sunset and stamped his way through a whole angry mile, hoping against hope that someone would bump him or jostle him or get in his way so that he could snap and snarl and yell and ease his frustration. But the sidewalks were deserted. Nobody walked in L.A., especially not at 5 in the morning, and certainly nowhere near a giant stranger in an obvious rage. The boulevard was quiet, too. No traffic except occasional anonymous third-hand sedans bearing humble employees to work, and a lone, farting Harley carrying a fat, gray-haired jerk in leathers. Reacher was offended by the noise and gave the guy the finger. The bike slowed, and for a delicious moment, Reacher thought the guy was going to stop and make an issue out of it. But no luck. The guy took one look and twisted the throttle and took off again. Fast. Up ahead on the right, Reacher saw a vacant corner lot fenced with wire. At a bus bench in the side street was a small crowd of day laborers waiting for the sun, waiting for work. Tiny brown men with tired, stoic faces. They were drinking coffee from a mission cart set up outside some kind of a community center. Reacher headed in that direction and paid $100 of his stolen dollars for a cup. He said it was a donation. The woman behind the cart accepted it without a question. They had seen weirder, he guessed, in Hollywood. The coffee was good as Denny's. He sipped it slowly and leaned back on the vacant lot's fence. The wire gave slightly and supported his bulk like a trampoline. He floated there, not quite upright, coffee in his mouth, fog in his brain. Then the fog cleared, and he started thinking about Nagley, principally, and her mysterious contact at the Pentagon. "He owes me," she had said. "Bigger than you could imagine." By the time he finished the coffee and tossed the empty cup, he had a faint glimmer of new hope and the outline of a new plan. Odds of success about 50-50. Better than roulette. He was back at the motel by 6 in the morning. He couldn't raise the others, no answer from their rooms. So he headed on down Sunset and found them in Denny's, in the same booth Nagley had used at the very beginning. He slid into the remaining unoccupied seat, and the waitress dealt him a paper placemat and clattered a knife and a fork and a mug after it. He ordered coffee, pancakes, bacon, sausage, eggs, toast, and jelly. "You're hungry," Dixon said. "Starving."
"Where were you?"
"Walking."
"Didn't sleep?"
"Not even close." The waitress came back and filled his mug. He took a long sip. The others went quiet. They were picking at their food. They looked tired and dispirited. He guessed that none of them had slept well, or at all. O'Donnell asked,
"When do we drop the dime?"
Reacher said, "Maybe we don't." Nobody spoke. "Ground rules," Reacher said. "We have to agree on something from the start. If Mahmoud has got the missiles, then this thing is bigger than we are. We have to suck it up and move on. There's too much at stake. Either he's paramilitary and wants to turn the whole Middle East into a no-fly zone, or he's a terrorist planning a day of action that's going to make the Twin Towers look like a day at the beach. Either way around, we're looking at hundreds or thousands of KIA, maybe tens of thousands. Those kind of numbers trump any interest of ours, agreed?" Dixon and Nagley nodded and looked away. O'Donnell said,
"There's no if about it. We have to assume Mahmoud has got the missiles."
No, Reacher said. We have to assume he's got the electronics. We don't know if he's got the rockets and the launch tubes yet. It's even money. 50-50. Either he collected the rockets first or the electronics first, but he's got to have both before we drop the dime.
How do we find out?